We are live on stream. We are recording at the same time. And we are here to talk about the NBA playoffs, round two. We've got to do a quick wraparound and cover some ground because things are looking a little different after game three. That can be applied to several series. And let's just go ahead and get started with what's most recent. Today, man, we saw the Minnesota Timberwolves take a 2-1 lead with a road win over the Golden State Warriors. We also saw the Boston Celtics earn their first victory in the series and close the gap on New York. That series now stands at 2-1 as well. And let's start with Minnesota. The Timberwolves, man, we said they were coming. We talked about and continuing to possibly take down legends. And he's sort of the Grim Reaper right now. Anthony Edwards is collecting jerseys and mascots and logos, the whole nine, and making his own collection out of it. The Warriors appear to be next. Stephen Curry, the injury is at the worst time for the Golden State Warriors. We saw this team had to play without Steph during the regular season. And again, this is when doing your homework matters. We saw what this team looked like without Steph Curry. And it was a team that was void of actual contributors suit for a playoff series with stakes. And that was before they added Jimmy Butler. Now that Jimmy Butler is there, it makes them a playoff team, but not much better than that. That's how much Steph Curry means to this lineup. And Minnesota can smell that. I put together a same game parlay today that banged. And some of the elements were, I think Jaden McDaniels is going to be active. I think that Rudy Gobert is going to be impactful and continues to be something that Golden State can't answer, especially if they don't have Steph Curry, which means offense won't be fully in gear. Then that just makes you a little easier to defend because you can't give them your best punch. So I expected Rudy to be all over the place in spurts, at least, and he was. He had a crazy first quarter, and Golden State was locked up until the final 2 minutes of that quarter, and he had a great final 3 minutes of the game. And I was worried my ticket wouldn't hit because they had Gobert on the bench for the whole, you know, the first 6-7 minutes of the quarter. And I said, yo, they're not going to put him back in the game. And they were just riding the hot hands, Julius Randle, dogging these Western Conference playoff teams. We have to talk about it. Like, this dude is triple-double today. Let's talk about it. 24, 10, 12. It's becoming a problem. I said that he was exposing the Lakers. And guess what? He's continuing to expose teams that aren't taking him serious. Go look back up on this profile. I've got videos talking about the New York Knicks' offseason and also about the Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns trade in hindsight, where people wanted to dismiss it as one-sided and a landslide for New York when Julius Randle has figured out how to play on this team, and he now does things for this team that Karl Anthony Towns did not. Karl Anthony Towns didn't go get you a triple-double. He didn't. I'm just saying. The facilitating and playmaking is a very underestimated and underemphasized part of Julius Randle's game. So he's continuing to expose teams that aren't taking him serious. Golden State was outmatched. If they weren't going to play Quentin Post, guess what? Looney and Draymond will not get it done in the year 2025. Not against teams that have the ability to go both ways in terms of we can give you our best punch with small ball lineup, or we can force you to address the fact that we have a size advantage inside and exploit that. There's not many teams that are actually doing that. I think that New York has a two-way lineup. I think that Boston has lineups that can go big or go small, even though they're pretty much the same. I think that Cleveland can. In the West, Minnesota definitely can in a way that Golden State can't. And that can really be the difference maker in this series. Looney and Draymond fouled out. They didn't have answers on the interior for a constant Minnesota attack. And I got to I got to salute those guys, man. It wasn't easy. It was a slugfest. It was a Jimmy Butler-esque playoff game in all every shape of the, every facet of the word, of the phrase. And it was ripe for Minnesota to fold. That was not a, you know, fly-by-night victory. That was a real, we're going into, I almost wanted to say Oracle, and that's the difference, but we are going into the Bay, and we're taking a playoff game from the Warriors. I know Steph didn't play, but we still can't laugh at that. That's not a joke. That's a serious feat, and they did it through adversity. It wasn't the handover. They didn't just give them the game. Jimmy Butler went crazy. Jonathan Kuminga, shout out to him coming off the bench and having a monster game. Buddy Hield gave it what he had at the end. He was cold for three quarters, though, and ultimately still wasn't enough. But, hey, those guys didn't crack, and it's because they have accumulated this playoff experience. Western Conference Finals last year, taking down veterans and superstar-level players in round one. They are ready to perform. They're not caught off guard. They weren't rocked by the fact that they lost game one and somewhat gave up home court advantage because they just went to Oracle and got it back. So this Minnesota team is fearless. And Chris Finch is doing a great job of putting the pieces together at the right times to guide them through this series. That's not being said enough. It's not just the players. It's not just Anthony Edwards. There's been rough moments, and he's put the right lineups to handle what's been needed. And as the playoffs continue, we can't forget what's happening. We're doing our homework right now, okay? Just do the homework. That's all I'm saying. Let's move on. Boston, those Boston boys, they got a win. They got a big one in the Garden. You know, there was a lot of relax energy. Jason Tatum pulled up with the overall joints, with the Timberlands. He's busting out the celly. Like, oh, that's really cheese right there. Tatum's, we have to think about whether or not he is already arguably the best player in the league outside of Jokic right now, SGA. But playoff evaluation is different. You're expected to do things, and losses become inexcusable point blank. If Tatum leads this team to a comeback series victory, you know, still work to be done, but he's got nothing but opportunity to take the mantle as the best player in the league. Hold on one second. Let me get fired back up. Get back on TikTok. Let's go. Back on. Got that resume. All right. Here we go. It's about to get serious. This is a message to my guy, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
You want to be the best player in the league. You can do that over the course of the next 2 months, rather definitively. Jason Tatum, if you want to be the best player in the league, I'm pulling the Dr. Umar where you randomly repeat yourself. Jason Tatum, if you want to be the best player in the league, man, make it happen, bro. Make it happen. It starts with coming back all the way in this series. Y'all got the win today? Good. You know, Joe Mazzulla's been keeping his poker face on during the press conferences. You guys all want to say, hey, you know, we're unbothered still. All right, we'll follow through. You gave up two at home. You've got some work to make up for. This means you got to win a couple in the Garden. You've got to win game four again. Just winning game three is not enough. You gave that team a lot of life and a lot of confidence by letting them take those first two games in Boston, especially via the comeback. But given the fact that you were putting belt to them in games one and two before losing them, and then you put more belt to them in game three, stop playing. Stop playing around. It's time to really lock in. Because back-to-back finals, and Tatum, this time you get your finals MVP, and we have to talk about you very, very differently, my boy. And I'm pulling for it. I think that I've said on this pod, please go back and find it. It's on multiple episodes. I've called Jason Tatum the best player in the NBA waiting to happen. And he's got to bring it to fruition. And it's a sight to see, because expectation is something that is a badge of honor almost. And it's never one that's highlighted, because the nature of it is you should be having a certain level of success based off of things that you've actually earned. And that's where it gets like, hey, all right, I get it. Now I will be critiqued and held to a standard. I'm held to that standard because I worked my way up to that standard, surpassing a lot of people on the way. And the Celtics are in the midst of what could be a dynasty. So these sort of pressure points along the way will present themselves. Overcoming those, and you get to greatness. You get to all-time conversations. It doesn't happen overnight, but this is what 8 years have led up to for JT. So I'm excited to see what happens in the rest of this series, because there's a lot at stake to follow either narrative. I'm here for the Knicks having a run, but in each of these games, we've seen them be thoroughly outplayed and in bad points. And I don't know what their counter is, except we need our guys to play better. And with Boston, you know, they were demonstrating that they could, you know, create leads and have success against their defense and stop them. And there's just inexcusable comebacks that they're allowing. New York, I don't know if... So things were already working for Boston. For New York, I'm not sure how they can get more out of the five guys that they're already putting out there for pretty much the entire game. So those two series that we saw on Saturday breathe a different sort of breath into the series themselves. As for the game fours that we will see on Sunday, it's a continuation of intrigue, because it's wide open to me. It's really wide open. The Denver Nuggets and Oklahoma City Thunder, again, battled for four quarters in a bonus overtime on Friday night. And they're starting to get really, you know, we're starting to get into the deep waters of this round where teams have exchanged blows. This is round five, round six, round seven, you know? And you know that you're still a ways from the end of it, but you really got to hang in there. And you know your opponent is not going away. And how will Oklahoma City respond in those moments? I have Denver pulling this out, because I talked about that leading up to this part of the series. I said, hey, will certain things translate? And some of what's different is just execution, but execution with the understanding of, hey, this loss is a nail in the coffin, potentially, all the time. So all of those little decisions are just, you know, tapping at those nails. And Oklahoma City, man, we talked about what happened in game one. Disgusting, disgusting stuff with the free throws. Game two, great. You beat them by 50, but that win counted just as much as the first win for Denver. So whoop-de-doo, you probably thought you did something too. And you've continued to, you know, carry this bravado or this, you know, sort of everything's good energy, when guess what? If it's all good, this isn't going to result in y'all going to the next round. I hope that's all good with y'all. But Jalen Williams had an incredible game three and demonstrated why he was an all-star this year, demonstrated why he was on the D-Hoop University fantasy team and why he was top five at his position. Except Shea took the last shot, and in regulation, that is. And I don't know if that was the look that I would have wanted, honestly. And it was a shot that Shea would take at any point in the game during just the flow of it, because he's used to getting that call. But guess what, big dog? It's different right now. So until you sort of expect him to learn and apply things that he's learned and not, you know, sort of go so blasé into a potential game-winning shot with regulation in a playoff game and possibly lean on the fact that you think you'll get the call. Like, no, bro, you gotta get the bucket, period. So get to the rack, find the hot hand, not the midi, oh, I'm leaning against him, ref, where you at? That's not the play. That's not the play with this game on the line, and every one of these games could mean the series is on the line. So the Thunder have got to figure something out there. Honestly, they're also struggling just offensively, which we would have expected because that's what happens in the postseason. But it's not something that can allow you to, you know, as a young team, these are the moments that we feared would bite them in the butt. But that's what's happening right now. Denver, with the experience, they've been to the mountaintop. They want to get back there. You got guys like Aaron Gordon playing out of his freaking mind right now. Like, you got Michael Porter Jr., of all people, playing with one arm, basically, and not missing because, you know what I'm saying? He needs to be out there. Jamal Murray's going to do what Jamal Murray's going to do, and there's never going to be a warning. So just always be prepared for a Jamal Murray bomb. And Yoke Dog hasn't had a triple-double in forever. He hasn't, you know, he was ice cold for parts of game three, 0 for 10 from three. And he had a couple good looks. And they still won. Think about that. Oklahoma City, you are the best defense all season long. You know, they wanted to have some very intense conversations and statements about what that Oklahoma City defense was this season. And it was impressive, I'll give you that. But if that defense is so good, you've got to convert defense into offense a little better. But you can't lose a game when Jokic can't buy a bucket from three. And that's what Denver was able to do. So what do you think that means for the rest of the series? That they're going to figure out a way to win it. That's what I'm pretty comfortable assuming right about now. But game four will be interesting. Then Oklahoma City will be back. They're a tough team to put away. Chet's been playing really well, but I'll see. We talked about these things. Please check out the tape that we have on this pod, on this channel, on this feed, on the YouTube page. We talked about Jokic and OKC and Denver a lot. So I'm glad that a series is happening between those two so we could put them side by side. And also, what was interesting is, it's like, how can you sound like you're for the Nuggets in this series when I've talked about it all season long? I'm actually in the belief that Shea should be MVP. I think that this is why we're now seeing it. Yes, Jokic can get insane numbers. However, it's a part of an ecosystem that understands itself so well and allows for Jokic to do that. It's still a replica of things that have just already been proven. So I'm not trying to take that away from him because it's insane. However, Shea's contribution to Oklahoma City's entire offensive output at the same time and them winning so many games this year and him playing nearly the entire 82 games and being a defensive, you know, piece at the same time, the margin of victory that they had on these games, and he was just a constant presence. There's nothing you could ask for a guard to do again. I don't want to hear it. If Shea didn't win an MVP this season, I'll wait for the next guard that's going to win an MVP. And I get it. Luka's a guard. Luka's also 6'9", 6'8". So it's a little different when we're talking about that. But, yo, Shea's the MVP in my opinion because this same team that's going up against Denver, fully, you know, with their full lineup intact, didn't have a center for like a third of the season. They're playing J-Dub at the five. They went months without Hardenstein to start the season, then went months without Chet once they got Hardenstein back. So you tell me, man. I will give up the MVP debate. We'll know soon enough. But that's one element of this series. And last but not least, Cleveland and Indy. That's a showdown. I think that is a seven-gamer. So the jury's still out. I want to see more from Mobley. I want to see more from Evan Mobley in this series. And that's as somebody who's a Evan Mobley fan. If I didn't have expectations for you to reach a certain ceiling, I wouldn't put the pressure on you to come through and show me something. So I want to see him do something. I want to see him continue to elevate and become a household name alongside Donovan Mitchell, who, that brother, man, that boy Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he's a great. He's going to be one of the greats of the era. And I'd like to see a championship next to him, you know, next to his resume. I think that that would be an impressive feat for him to pull off. And he's on a roster and a team that's capable of that. I don't know if it'll be this season, but big picture, that's just what's up for grabs for them. And I didn't get to necessarily say it a little bit enough, so let me make sure I give the who's hooping of round two of the playoffs so far to Aaron Gordon, my dog, putting on for San Jose. Shout out to Shiv. I think he went to Archbishop St. Mitty or something like that. Class of 2014, 15, something like that. Shout out. Aaron Gordon, man, he put the work in. You can't fake. There's nothing that you can fake about that. You can't fake putting the work in. You can tell. There's nuance to show that you're more confident and you want the pressure. He's making clutch free throws. He's stealing offensive rebounds and making heads-up plays and catching bodies and playing defense and getting assists, hitting the three. Like, yo, I don't think Denver expected this version of Aaron Gordon when they traded for him from Orlando. And that's saying something, because they gave up, you know, a fair amount of assets to get him. He's making them look great, you know, and he's playing with passion. He's playing with a purpose. If you listen to any of the broadcasts, you know what I mean. So he's going to be dealt with this postseason as a real X factor. And the combo of him and Michael Porter Jr. clicking at the same time, man, that makes Denver difficult to beat. It really, really does. So somebody's going to have to figure out what they're going to do about that. And last but not least, I just want to talk about this new Netflix doc, man. This is not an ad. However, Shooting Guards, Untold, on Netflix is the real deal. Boy, is that a doc. That was a special little piece they put together, and one that needed to be told, man. The story of Gilbert Arenas, man. I forgot how major Gil was, and I experienced it, so it's different. There's a lot of folks in the chat right now. I don't know if y'all had NBA lives for real, for real. I don't think y'all were playing NBA Live. NBA Live 08 specifically, I believe it's the one with Gil on it. 06 is D-Wade, 07 is T-Mac, and I think, yeah, 08 is Gil. And dude, I was like, that's right, man. Bro was on the game. He did have his shoe. And forget that. He wore number zero and I wore number zero in high school. And not because I ever had like a favorite number, but I feel like it was just a neat, unique number where it's like, nah, I'm gonna take that. Let me get that. And Gil probably did the same at some point. But Gil was really the man. And that story with him and Javaris Crittenton is really just an example of how media can really turn something into an instant wildfire. It's shocking, and I love the way that it's told, because the guys that were in the locker room, shout out to Andre Blatch, Nick Young, you know, and of course the two main characters describe what happened, and then their narrative of what happened just ends. And you're like, yo, there's an hour and change on this doc. You're telling me that's what happened in the locker room? And it goes from, oh, there was guns in the locker room, to somebody, there was gambling debt, there was a pistol at somebody's head, the whole nine, you know, misinformation, but reporting on something that was held very close to guard. So the facts weren't out there in detail. and the league wanted it to be that way. Gilles commented later on and said, hey, man, I think that the main reason they didn't want me to be outed and what my punishment was for was what they would call, you know, oh, man, I don't even want to get into the specifics of the doc because you just got to go watch it. And Gil, we know, is a fool. And by the end of the doc, you see that, yeah, behind all of that, there's a mature adult who did learn a lesson and had to experience knowing something you did or knowing that you have some share of responsibility in a real spiral of events that traces back to some of your own ignorance, some of your own immaturity. And it's a lesson learned the hard way. And he spins it back into parenthood, which is always going to get me. I'm sorry, but he said, look, man, that happened to me. My job as a parent and as life goes on and in the circle of life is to teach my child best that I can the things that I learned from it and help him try to avoid some of those same pitfalls. Javaris Crittenden, shout out to you, man. Hey, I don't know if people are going to say he deserves a shout out based off some of the things that come to light in that documentary. However, I'm not mad at anybody that has to persevere through whatever it is. Shout out to you. If you're watching this and you're going through something and you just need a boost of confidence, you got it for me. Keep going, man. Persevere. See it through. Know that you can't run from certain accountability. And it was just a tale of two lives. It was a tale of two, you know, upbringings, backgrounds, mindsets, and decision-making. And it did a good job of giving some backstory onto why those, you know, young men might have made the decisions that they made and how they, as more mature men, can reflect on it. But it's just valuable stuff. And that's why I'm always here for a good documentary, because there's not a better story than real life. So I'm going to leave you all with that right there. Appreciate everybody that tapped into the live. I'm going to try and get this up later today, which is Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. I don't know how I didn't get that onto the pod prior to now. Especially Mama Hoop. Mama Hoop deserves a big shout out. But, y'all are real. This has been real. Like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening. Tap in with the gang. Comments. Get your application for the summer semester. We are accepting. You feel me? Keep watching the games. We'll talk some wrestling on here soon as well with Justin Walker. Oh, man, we've got some huge stuff lined up this week. I'm so excited, to be honest. I don't even want to talk about what it might be, but know that it's all gas, no brakes. Shout out to Jacob Fatu. Yada, I mean, we out of here.